The Voices of Search podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything podcast network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit iheareverything.com.
Bridge toll, California, customer service number.
Highway miles to the gallon, Ford Focus.
Thailand cave rescue operation.
What is Schema F?
Best wine bars in San Carlos, California.
Best Western hotels.
How old is Ronaldo?
What happened with Big Brother?
What's a good engagement?
How long before a wedding should I send out save the dates?
How many games are in the first series?
Use IMAP to check email on other email clients. Identify fonts from
where to find.
We were 4 years
Welcome to the Voices of Search podcast. Today we're going to discuss SEO in private equity firms. Joining us is Micah Fischner-Kirshner, who is the VP of SEO and content at Turn River Capital, which is the growth equity fund that operates in a partnership model with its investment companies. At its core strategy, Turn River's proprietary software growth playbooks are custom made for growing profitable software companies. So far this week, Micah and I have talked about surviving an acquisition as an SEO. We talked about the difference between his role as a private equity firm SEO as opposed to being in-house. And today we're going to wrap up our conversation talking about some of the differences between B2B and B2C SEO that Micah's recognized. And this podcast is also sponsored by Ahrefs. What if I told you that you could monitor your website's SEO health, backlinks, and organic rankings at no costs? Sounds too good to be true? Well, it's not. Because my friends at Ahrefs just launched Ahrefs Webmaster Tools. Ahrefs' new Webmaster Tools product quickly helps you improve your site's visibility by pointing solutions to over 100 technical issues that might be holding your search performance down. Plus, AWT monitors for backlinks so you'll know the most linked to pages and how those links are affecting your rankings. And AWT shares what keywords your website ranks for and compares how you stack up against competitors for key metrics like search volume, keyword difficulty, and traffic value. Look, monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools. And now, thanks to Ahrefs, that's not the case anymore because AWT will help you monitor your SEO health, backlinks, and keywords for free. And no, it's not one of those 14-day free trial offers. It's a powerful site audit tool that will keep working for you for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's ahrefs.com/AWT. All right, here's the last part of my conversation with Micah Fischner-Kirshner, the VP of SEO and content at Turn River Capital. Micah, welcome back to the Voices of Search podcast.
Thank you again.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show. We've covered a lot of ground this week talking about what's it like for SEOs when they go through an acquisition. You, as somebody who works at a private equity firm, understands what the dynamics are. And yesterday we talked about what your role is as an SEO in private equity as opposed to in-house. And one of the things that came out of that conversation was you get to see a lot of different brands and how they structure your SEO. And you've built essentially a system and a template to organize specifically B2B SaaS SEO companies to maximize their impact with search. So having looked at a bunch of different companies and how they're doing SEOs, talk to me a little bit about what makes B2B versus B2C SEO different for you.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is how in the B2B world, how limited the number of product-oriented queries and then turn product-oriented pages there are. It's very much more content filled, basically between kind of the benefits and features that are talked about at the homepage or kind of the why us and why to buy. And then it completely jumps to just here's our guides, here's our resources, here's our blog. And this is something I've noticed is kind of a large difference between what you see in B2C, where you've got category pages, product pages, very much hybrid of like people are willing to buy now, now, now. And so you have all these pages built for it, but you don't get that same concept of you need product pages that people are looking for because they may not know what the product is and they're trying to find the right software. That's probably one of the interesting things I've noticed over my career when it comes to coming in and to these companies and building the structure and saying, hey, you're not addressing the needs of the user for what they're trying to find.
So is it that in the B2C market, people aren't looking for the type of categorization that they would in B2C, and therefore the category style pages don't exist, you're getting less product pages, basically less volume overall, less iteration, more content? Or is it just that the SEOs haven't realized that the buying experience is more like B2C and there's room for growth?
It's actually a function, I think, of both. There is less volume. And because there's less volume, there's this natural inclination of nobody searching, and think it's only in these kind of two extremes of homepage and branding and informational, like learn more about X in terms of the content. And that's kind of what I've noticed is that there is volume there. Sometimes your competitors have got it, but they're not trying to attack those areas in which users are searching for.
It's funny, I'm going through this problem myself right now where we're rebranding my company to be from Ben J. Schapp to I Hear Everything. And we're moving from what used to be my independent consulting company where I was helping do marketing strategy and growth planning. Why did I call it growth planning? But we were helping doing brand development and marketing strategy. I don't really do consulting that much anymore. And so now we're starting to scale the podcast monetization and growth products that we've built for this podcast and another one. And so the fundamental reason why I'm talking about this is we're sitting here being like, hey, we got to put everything on the homepage. Let's just build one page so people understand who we are. And we've got three products. So maybe we'll do a product page for each one of our lines of business and then a contact form. And that's all we're doing. And, you know, we'll have podcast content and stuff that we republish on the page. But I'm not thinking about what are our categories. I've got three products. So am I missing the boat? Am I not capturing search demand because there's a class of categories that people are looking for in podcast, in content as a service, in podcast networks? Or is it really just as simple as I'm creating content for what we actually do?
Yeah, and far be it for me to define kind of what your specific business, but it's more of the general, I would say, yeah, you're potentially missing the categories of what's out there by being actually potentially too narrow in your definitions. So it may be that there is a larger market that may not be as directly onto kind of what your products are, but by addressing like, here's where we cover this part of it, you're capturing the demand that is there who may not be perfectly exact to what they've searched for, but it covers, let's say, 90% of it. So that's something that I've found has worked well because users are, and the intent of what they're trying to search for is not exact. When they're doing a three-word search, or really two words plus software, they have a general feel of what that should be, but it's not an exact, this must exactly match this. And so I've built out a number of pages, particularly back at Zendesk to where I am at Turnover today. And it's interesting because there are sometimes subtle differences to what users are searching for, but the actual thing is oftentimes rolled up to a higher category for what they're really looking for.
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our sponsor, Previsible. So you're looking for SEO help, and you got a couple of options. You could start replying to spam from agencies that claim they can get you to rank number one on Google. You could pay an hourly rate for a consultant who will inevitably nickel and dime you with hourly charges. Or you could work with a cookie cutter agency to quickly launch a strategy-less project with low success rate. None of those sound very good, now do they? Well, that's where Previsible's integrated consulting model comes in. Previsible draws from a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to unlock your organic growth opportunities. They build custom solutions that combine strategy, technical expertise, content, and reporting to effectively operationalize SEO for your business. Previsible's four-stage approach ensures that your SEO programs thrive by starting off with a strategy-first approach. Then they support you in your efforts to create quality content, help you identify technical issues, and most importantly, they'll work with your cross-functional teams to integrate your SEO strategies to make sure that your SEO budget actually drives results, not just your agency's bottom line. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, Square, all who rely on the SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's Previsible, previsible.io.
So talk to me about infrastructure. You work on SEO primarily in B2B, but you have experience in lots of different businesses. What do the tech stacks and sort of toolkits look like? And what's the difference between B2B and B2C?
Probably the biggest tech stack difference is the fact that a lot of Salesforce is where you go for the source of truth. Whereas a lot of times in e-com, you can get away with Google Analytics as being your source of truth because of how easy and direct that can be to people purchasing right away. So with Salesforce as kind of the source of truth, you'll find that Google Analytics, which is kind of the common tool across all that and a lot of SEOs are using, doesn't connect to it very easily. Data's not, doesn't roll back in. And oftentimes people sometimes don't know how to connect it. And Salesforce is not built for marketing. And so that you'll find that that's probably one of the largest issues and constraints that I've had in my career with as an SEO in B2B is trying to get my data down to that level so I can directly attribute what I've done and showcase kind of the line from my work to revenue. Other kinds of stacks, often I found that a lot of sites are pretty much on WordPress. Whereas if you're an e-com, you're probably using some form of e-com software solution, whether from the newer
Shopify, Magento, that type of thing.
Those often are, they have kind of very much, depending on the system, there's a lot more structure to them and kind of the limitations of what you can do and the flexibility. Whereas WordPress, lots of flexibility, but a lot of glut. In terms of a lot of bloat.
Gluttonous, because it's so bloated.
Yeah, you're like, I want this plugin and that plugin. And yeah, so basically very bloated and it creates other types of issues. We're now suddenly trying to make changes is very difficult because it may break things if you want to change a technical infrastructure part of it. And so that the tech stack that's then built in that way is quite a bit different where now you're having to like, go and now build a new tech thing in order to get around that, which you're just really adding more and more technical debt versus kind of within a very specified structure that an e-commerce platform usually has.
I guess the last question I have for you is, there's a difference between the type of content, less category content when you're in a B2B business. The tech stacks you're using they're obviously more CRM driven when you're in B2B. Talk to me about the people. Do you see a difference between the type of people that are successful in B2B as opposed to B2C? Are there specific characteristic traits or experiences that will make you thrive in one place versus another?
Yeah, I found that as an SEO in B2B, you have to learn that you're not really the most important channel anymore. E-com, often there's so many people who are looking for the product that SEO gets to be kind of, if you're not showing up in search, you're not doing well at all. Whereas in B2B, it's a different ballgame. And you're having to really share a lot of resources and you're really, and I'd almost say in a lot of ways, in a minority situation now, very small minority. And so your ability to really work with others, work the politics of how to work with others, understanding who is owning what because of that, as well as people who might be more dismissive about SEO, all that politicking, so to speak, becomes much more important. And is what is a successful SEO in those companies? Because you have to actually build in a knowledge and foundation right at the start. Whereas in e-com, it's kind of understood that it has to be there.
My thought about the difference between the type of people is if you are great at being like a sniper as an SEO, then you're going to be very successful in B2B. If you are great at operating a machine gun, B2C is probably your space, right? If you can create a lot of content, if you can manage large sites, lots of complexity, constantly moving, and you're just, trying to manage the flow of the ocean, that to me is B2C marketing. You have to be very precise, strategic, understand your customers, and honestly be a little bit more integrated into the marketing team. That tends to be the B2B type SEOs. Micah, you're in the perfect place to talk to us about the differences between B2B and B2C because you get to see so many different types of SEOs and work with them. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your expertise with us.
I was happy to be here and enjoyed every bit.
All right. That wraps up this episode of the Voices of Search podcast. Thanks to Micah Fisher-Kirshner, the VP of SEO and Content at Turn River Capital. If you'd like to get in touch with Micah, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact him on Twitter where his handle is MicahFK. That's MicahFK. Or you could visit his company's website, which is turnriver.com. And a special thanks to Previsible for sponsoring this podcast. If you're looking for support with all of your SEO needs, Previsible's integrated consulting model is there for you. They draw on a collective 40 years of SEO and digital marketing experience to help you unlock your organic search and growth opportunities. So join brands like Yelp, eBay, Canva, Atlassian, and Square, all who rely on SEO consultants at Previsible. For more information, go to previsible.io. That's previsible.io. And a special thanks to Ahrefs for sponsoring this podcast. Monitoring your website used to require multiple expensive tools, but that's not the case anymore, thanks to Ahrefs, because they just launched their Ahrefs Webmaster Tools product, which monitors your SEO health, helps you keep track of your backlinks, and gives you the insight into what keywords are performing for free. So check out Ahrefs Webmaster Tools at ahrefs.com/AWT. That's Ahrefs, ahrefs.com/AWT. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to voicesofsearch.com where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also send us your topic suggestions or your SEO questions, and you can even apply to be a guest speaker on the Voices of Search podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is Voices of Search on Twitter, and my personal handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of SEO and content marketing insights in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day during the work week. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed in the next business day. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, remember, the answers are always in the data.